time for our Bible reading now, which can be found in Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 7. And kids, if you can read, ask your parents to show you where it is in the Bible so you can read along with them. It can also be found on page 914 if you have a church Bible. So that's Acts chapter 6, starting at verse 1. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, and complaints by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews, because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith.
Brilliant. Nikki, thank you so much for reading for us. Let's pray together as we get into God's word, this passage in Acts. Let me pray. God, our Father, thank you for your words to us this morning. Thank you that we can hear you speaking to us through them. And I pray you would give us ears to listen and hearts ready to obey. Amen. Amen. Well, does anyone remember what the problem that they were having in the church in Acts was? If you don't remember, think back. There were some people who were missing out. The church had grown massively. It was full of people from Jerusalem, but also people from all sorts of other countries. If you heard in the reading, they used two words. They said the Hebrews, the people from around Jerusalem, and the Hellenists. That means Greeks, basically, but they were actually from all around, people who spoke the Greek language. And they had this problem because they wanted to care for the widows. They wanted to look after the poor. But some of the poor widows were being missed out, the foreign widows, the ones from far away. And so in this passage, we get to see what the church decided to do about it. And I love this because what we get to see in this passage is a little bit what the church was like. What did they think was important? How did they go about doing it? I love this passage too because it's got Stephen in it, and that's my name, but that's a different reason. Esther has been baptized this morning into the church. And so for Esther's family, this is an important passage. What does it mean to be baptized into the church? What is the church like? What kind of outfit have they signed her up for anyway? Well, that's what we're going to see as we get into this passage. And there are three things I want you to notice about the church this morning. Three things to pay attention to that shows us what the church was like. Children, I've put three pictures around the room, and each picture goes with one of my points. So we'll see if we can spot them, and maybe with each point, for the right picture, someone can bring that picture up so we can all see it. Okay, so our first picture, our first point is down in this bit of the room near the front. Can anyone spot my picture? You can spot it, Alice. Do you want to bring it up to the front? Brilliant. Just if you pull it off gently there. It's just stuck on with blue tack. Brilliant. That can come to the front. Well, while Alice is bringing that, let me tell you this point. The first thing I want us to see is that the church serves. The church serves. What is the church like? It's a serving church. Brilliant. Why don't you stand just on the ground there? Because otherwise the table will be in the way. That's it. You can hold it up there. I've got a hand with a heart in it to show the church serving. So the first thing to notice is this. The widows were missing out. What did the church do? They didn't say, "Oh, that doesn't matter. It's not important." No, it mattered to them. They decided it was a problem that was worth fixing. And so they think what to do, and they pick these seven men, seven leaders, to sort out the problem and make sure everyone was being served fairly. And that's where Stephen and Philip and all the others come in. They're the ones who come and fix the problem. You see, the church recognized that it can be hard to serve each other well when we're not all the same. The church back in Jerusalem was made up of people from different countries who spoke different languages and had different cultures and maybe liked different things. And so to serve each other when we're different from each other is hard. It's not easy. You have to decide, this is what we're going to do. We're from different countries. We're from different cultures. We speak different languages. We like different things. But if we're in the church, we want to serve and help each other. In our family, we like a story called The Smeds and the Smoos. Does anyone know The Smeds and the Smoos? I've got some nods from the children. Brilliant. In the story, the Smeds hate the Smoos because they wear funny shoes. Their skin is blue and they eat green stew. And the Smoos hate the Smeds because they sleep in beds and their skin is red and they eat brown bread. The things that are different keep the Smeds and the Smoos apart. But in this story, they don't come together by becoming the same. They come together by celebrating what is different about each other. They learn that green stew can be nice. And so they become united together. Listen, in the church, our job is not to all become the same as each other, but to celebrate the wonderful ways in which God has made us different and to lovingly serve each other, even though sometimes that can be hard across different cultures. That's the first thing this morning. The church serves. Okay, here's the second thing I want you to see, and it's that the church speaks. So somewhere on this part of the room, over here, I've got another picture. I wonder if anyone can find it for me. Anyone have a look for my picture on this half of the room? Bring it to front. It's not that one, Jacob. Hold that one for that's point three. So you'll have to hold on to that one. Does anyone think they can find one over this? Child, head over that way. Someone who thinks they want to have a look, go over that way. I'll tell you about it while someone's looking. The church speaks, and that is what I want us to notice. So did you notice when the church was serving, they appointed some leaders to do it. They picked some special people. Now, the leaders of the church in those days were the apostles, Jesus' 12 closest followers. They were the ones who led the church. And I want you to notice, hey, well done, guys. Come and stand next to Alice, and you can hold up that picture for everyone to see. Brilliant. We've got a speech bubble to show the church speaks. I want you to notice what the apostles said about themselves when they picked these men. So have a look, if you've got your Bibles open, in verse 2. I'm going to read a bit of verse 2 and a bit of verse 4. This is what they said. It's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. And so they appoint these seven leaders, these seven men, and they say, verse 4, we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. You see, it's really important that the church serves, but it's not the only thing that matters. In fact, it's not the most important thing, because even more important than that is that the church speaks. And there's two types of speaking. The church has to preach. They have to declare the word of God. That is, they need to say to everyone, Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Jesus is really alive. That's what Jesus told them to do. They need to speak to people about God. But that's not the only kind of speaking. Now, they're preaching, but they also have to pray. Because actually, it's hard to speak to people about God. Because actually, even when we speak to people about God, we can't change their hearts. We can't help them to believe that Jesus really is alive. No, only God can do that. So as well as speaking to people about God, they need to pray. They need to speak to God about people. The church is speaking, praying, and preaching. We've got a new minister coming. Do you all know that? A man called Kenny. He's going to be our new minister. I wonder what you think his most important job will be. when he comes here? Is it to fix something that's broken? Is it to sort out your favourite bit of church life? Well, we don't have to wonder. This is what Acts tells us is Kenny's most important job, to devote himself to prayer and preaching the word. What is our new minister's most important job? Speaking to people about God and speaking to God about people. But listen, it's not just Kenny's most important job. It's our most important job too. So I wonder this week, when you're sitting down to have your lunch, if you can tell your friend what's great about being Jesus' friend. I wonder if this week, when someone in school or at work asks you about being a Christian, if you'll be ready to tell them a little bit about Jesus. I wonder if when you're at home this week with your family or your housemates, if you'll open the Bible together and hear what God is saying to us. The church speaks. The church serves and the church speaks. Okay, here's our last point. We've got one more. I think Jacob spotted the picture already. So do you want to bring that picture for the front for me, Jacob? Absolutely brilliant. The third and final thing is this. The church is spirit-powered. The church is spirit-powered. So I want you to notice something really important about the people that they chose. Here they are. So first, have a look down in verse 3. This is what they were looking for. Pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom. They needed something from outside themselves. They needed God's Spirit. And it says it again in verse 5. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Here's what it's important to realize. The church has a job to do, to serve and to speak, but we can't do that job on our own. We need the power of God to do the work of God. Do you know what happens to a car if it hasn't got any petrol in the tank? Nothing happens to it. It can't go because it's got no fuel and no power. And in the Christian life, if we have no power, then it's nothing doing. We're going nowhere. We can't do these things on our own. No, we need God's help by His Spirit in our hearts. This is what Alex was talking about earlier when she stood on this stage. And her prayer for Esther is that Esther will know the power of the Spirit in her life so that she knows in hard times she's not on her own, because God's Spirit is with her. And that's our prayer for Esther too. We long for her to know that. You know, you can go out there and try really hard to serve and to speak, and I think what you'll find is it's really difficult. But if we go out there and we say, I'm going to pray to God that He would give me enough of His Spirit to be able to do that, now we're getting somewhere. Now we're talking. The church serves, the church speaks, and the church is Spirit-powered. Did anybody notice something? You see, these three things give us a little picture of what our God is like. The church speaks because we have a God who speaks. God the Father is a God who speaks. He created the world by doing what? Speaking. Let there be light. God spoke through the prophets, and He speaks today through His word to us. We have a God who speaks and who calls us to speak. God the Son is a God who serves. He became like a servant. He became like you and me to serve us, to love us, and to serve us most of all by dying on the cross in our place. We have a God who serves us. And God the Spirit is a God who empowers us. He is the Spirit God pours into our hearts so that we might be able to respond to that God. Listen, the good news of Jesus Christ is this. This is the most important thing I'm going to say today. The good news of Jesus Christ is this. It's not that we serve God or we speak for God. It's that God has served us and God has spoken to us. And He gives us the power of His Spirit so that we might start to become like Him. Listen, if God has done that for us, He's spoken to us, He's served us in Jesus, He's given us His Spirit, then let's go this week with the Spirit's power to our homes and our schools and our workplaces and speak and serve for him. Thanks be to God. Thank you, children, for your help. You can go and sit down. I'm going to pray as we close.